Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
Thursday, 13 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and live from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marx. Huge day for Naspers, 9.3% up. Short squeeze, the end of the Chinese worries, off to the races. And of course, US inflation smack on, 7% as expected. Kian Nyoma, Think Markets, he's going to pick two local stocks for 2022. And then Marius Reitz, GM for Africa at Luna, on the crypto sell-off. And Bitcoin versus the altcoin. We get a check-in with the crypto market at the beginning of the year. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Will Steinberg be extradited to the US and will the FBI keep the spoils? This is the Mirror Trader International scandal. They found him in Brazil. He was arrested just last week. But the crypto specialist Darren Hancom is saying the missing Bitcoin, those who are hoping to see their money back, might be disappointed. Business Day, Capitec co-founder and CFO to retire in June, Andre Duplessis, replaced by Grant Hardy. He heads the group's specialized services financial unit. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up a third, Nasdaq up 0.4, Asia mixed, Sydney up 0.3, Tokyo off almost 1%. Commodities red overnight, although up on yesterday morning. Gold, 18.25, Brent, 84.45, rhodium under pressure, down at 16,740, Rand, 15.32. Top 40 opening call, looking for a red open, about 270 points down, that's about 0.4%. That is 10 cent trades down, 1.4% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Chantal Marx, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Chantal, morning. Appreciate the early morning. Naspers yesterday, massive day, 9.3% on the upside. Was it a short squeeze? We had seen Tencent do very well in Hong Kong. Is it China fears are abating? What's your sense of what's happening here with Naspers?
It's probably a little bit of everything, but I think that the biggest thing is that fundamentally the share is still very undervalued mm-hmm. relative to where it's traded at in the past, relative to its underlying components. I mean, I just did the calculations this morning. It's trading at a 28% discount to Prosus, which it's almost an exact replica of. And then it's also trading at a 46.7% discount on a look-through basis to all the underlying stuff that it has in its portfolio, or the underlying stuff within Prosus, which is the underlying thing within Naspers. So there's still a lot of value, and this discount would have been even larger yesterday. So just that discount narrowing a little bit to kind of more historic standards. And I guess that some of the short sellers may have been caught off guard. And things do look a little bit better from a sentiment perspective when it comes to Chinese tech. Long may it last.
Yeah, I think we've kind of learned to live with those crackdowns of last year. Certainly the tech companies seem to be in that space. US inflation, 7% exactly as expected by the market. But here's the two fun stats. Highest inflation since 1982. And back then, the US had interest rates of over 15%.
No, I mean, I think the important thing here, and I'm not going to use the word transitory because it's super boring, but the important thing here is to think about how long it will last and what is causing this spike in inflation. So what the cause is actually supply chain bottlenecks and mm-hmm. energy. Mm-hmm. Energy is very volatile. You can't really build a monetary policy framework around the oil price. I don't think that is a smart thing to do. And some of these supply chain bottlenecks are going to start fading soon. So while I think this is a good opportunity for the Fed to raise interest rates because they need a buffer for the next crisis that will inevitably come, they probably won't do it too aggressively. And I think that's what's been reflected in the market. But just an interesting one, what stood out to me, used cars and trucks, inflation, 37.3% year on year. Okay. Last month.
See, what you're saying is I should take my 13-year-old Mazda and sell it in the US and arbitrage that. We'll leave it there.
No, you will do very well.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. As always, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Ken Nyama. He's, of course, from Think Markets Care. Appreciate the early morning. Still kicking off the only second week into the year. Remit to you was some stocks that you're sort of JC listed that you're particularly looking at for 2022.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to your listeners. I mean, I think this year has been one of the most difficult years for me to start off because the market just remains at such elevated levels, but a lot of things on the market do not look attractive at the moment. And I think it's the market just anticipating interest rate hikes and inflation going on into Q2, Q3, and Q4. So to position your portfolio, I think one needs to look for businesses which are inflation-proof. Mm-hmm. And inflation-proof businesses have a cost-plus model, business model, meaning they can push on that inflationary increase to their consumers. And one thing which has become very prevalent in 2021 was energy shortages around the world.
Yeah.
And I think with our last chat was around Exxaro. But now I have an interesting stock that I've been looking at since 2021, and I've been quite hesitant in covering it, and it's Renogen. Mm. And for me, it is one of the stocks which I think are going to capture the zeitgeist in the coming years. I mean, the Virginia Phase 1 project has come on almost to budget cost and as well as to the time. And last year, they did include in the VP1 phase of the project, they did report that they actually have more reserves of methane and helium. And apart from the fact that there were some issues with some equipment which was delayed, they did anticipate to get commercial from March, but it has just been pushed up by a month from April. And what has de-risked some of the first phase project are some of the offtake agreements that they have signed on, which will bring on revenue onto the profit and loss statement.
Yeah, I mean, Renogen, like I did, when you mentioned that, my ears pick up because it's a stock that I actually hold. So me and you are aligned on that. Yeah, typically, these sort of junior exploration / minor, I mean, they come with a lot of risk. But to your point, they're de-risking with that phase one. And if you don't mind the risk component of them, they can be, you know, massively rewarding. Every giant mining company out there was once a junior exploration.
And I mean, for me, the problem about it is, especially in our local market, you don't have many energy stocks. Mm. So, I mean, apart from going into Sasol, where else could you put your money? And for me, these small miners, these small energy stocks have a component like Tesla. I mean, the founders of this company are so energetic, and they're so heavily invested with their own capital into this business that, I mean, if you have a management that puts money into a business, they do believe in it. And I mean, the research they have done into the LNG market is really, 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 really impressive.
Yeah, and it is, and the helium story in of itself is a giant story as well. And I mean, you know, there's not more of it coming. There is global demand for it. Yep, there are other miners out there, but they're coming on levels of concentration that are
10, 20, 30, 50x other miners. We'll leave it there. Ken Unyama, Think Markets. Renogen, an energy stock, a slightly risky play, but certainly one that, if it pays off, and they are de-risking, is looking good.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Marius Reitz, GM for Africa at Luno, which is obviously one of our local crypto exchanges. Marius, appreciate the time today. We've seen crypto, the Bitcoin, the one we all follow, but bunches of the others as well. We saw some weakness towards the end of last year. We've seen some weakness coming into the beginning of this year as well. Bitcoin down in the low of $40,000 a coin. When I'm on Twitter, when I'm on everyone's saying, oh, buy the dips, buy the dips. You run an exchange. Are you seeing activity? Are people out there and saying, hey, here's some opportunity. We've got Bitcoin and other cryptos at levels that probably haven't seen in over a year.
Hello, Simon.
Thanks for the opportunity. As you mentioned, I think specifically with regards to Bitcoin and altcoins, the last 4 weeks we've seen some weak price action. Having to lack of interest or demand, and also the holiday season and potentially some other factors like the Fed move to raise interest rates, etc. So we have seen some price action. We've seen most cryptos drop 10-15%. And as you say, you will always have the two camps, the long-term holders or the hodlers in crypto speak, buying the dip. And then you have people acting on fear. We're seeing the fear and greed index at its lowest level in quite a long time. So there's extreme fear in the market at this point. And the general theme there is that when prices drop, people expect the prices to go even lower and they get out of the market. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a balance, Simon. You have the long-term holders buying the dip, and then you have the short-term speculators getting out. And we have seen that for Bitcoin, 2-4% price recovery. Most altcoins have also recovered over the past 2 days or so.
And is it still fair to say, I mean, Bitcoin is still the biggest market cap, but is there a lot more interest going into those altcoins, some of which have had a spectacular couple of years?
Yeah, I think
if you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's dominance is currently still above 40%, mostly due to altcoin weakness over the past week or so. And Bitcoin tends to outperform altcoins in periods of market turmoil, like we're seeing currently. So we're seeing Bitcoin dropping by a smaller percentage compared to Ethereum, which is down 20% over the past month, Litecoin down 14%, etc. Over periods, of market bullish behavior, you'll see Bitcoin outperforming periods of bullish behavior, you'll see altcoins outperforming Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin's almost, I suppose, in a sense, been the granddaddy. It's kind of like the safety. The one thing that struck me, I mean, I've been watching cryptos for I suppose, a couple of years after Bitcoin first arrived. It was supposed to be a store of value. It was supposed to be a hedge against inflation. In many senses, it hasn't proved that. What we've seen with cryptos, Bitcoin, and with the altcoins is that they need to stand on their own. As investors or speculators or technologists, we need to look at them as it's the Web 3.0. It's the Web 3, it's the technology stack, it's what's been built on top of them is kind of becoming a lot more important than viewing it as a traditional sort of a gold or a US Treasury or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
we're definitely still in the asset phase where people predominantly invest or buy crypto from an investment or speculation perspective. We know that Bitcoin was invented as a peer-to-peer payments mechanism, and there's a lot more to it than just holding crypto or buying crypto as a store of value. Initially, Bitcoin had a very, very low correlation to broader financial markets, but during the past 2 years with COVID crisis and a lot of risk the financial markets, we've seen that correlation increasing with the S&P 500, and that correlation now sitting at its highest level in more than a year.
And that is the growing up of it. I mean, I suppose, you know, now that we've got, you know, you can buy it in the US via PayPal, the big global banks, which 5 years ago, you know, were saying never, suddenly they're looking into it, they're offering it. It becomes more mainstream. It becomes more part of that mainstream investment universe. I mean, people are fearful. They're going to be fearful of everything.
Absolutely. And Simon, I do think we're still very, very much in the early stages. Over the past year, we saw, you know, five or so big institutions taking positions in crypto. That's 5 or 10, you know, out of thousands of institutions globally, and mainly action from the US as well. So I do think in the coming year, we'll see more robust and sensible regulation, and I think a lot of corporates and individual investors, retail investors, sitting on the sidelines still and not putting their funds into crypto at this stage because of a lack of regulatory clarity. So I do think, you know, if you look at the progress we've made over the past 5 years, if you look back to 2016-17 and you fast forward to 2022, you know, it's amazing to see the progress on various fronts that we've made. And so just imagine the growth in the market over the next 5 years or so. So the market is moving at a rapid pace, and I think we will reach that level of maturity, you know, in the coming years, Simon.
I get you. I mean, for example, we chatted last year. You introduced the wallet where I could effectively earn interest, and I'm a holder, so I get my email every month telling me how much Bitcoin I've earned in interest. 2 years ago, that would have been a completely crazy idea. Now it's just I expect that email on the first of every month, and that innovation is just going to accelerate as we move forward, and particularly, I imagine, with the altcoins as well.
Absolutely.
We've seen, at Luna, we think people will use crypto for the same reasons they use their traditional currency. So they will use it to transact. Mm-hmm. They will use it to save, to invest, and to lend and to borrow. So we've seen a hybrid environment, at this point where people use fiat currency and they use crypto to do payments. That we see people using traditional investments such as gold or equities and crypto as part of the investment strategy. And over the past year or so, we've seen crypto lending come to the fore where people can borrow against crypto collateral. So we'll see more of these traditional financial use cases being mirrored by crypto over the coming year or so. And I think that's where, mostly due to the rise of decentralized finance, and I think we'll see a lot of growth in that sector over the next 12 months.
We'll get you back. We'll talk to DeFi one of these days. Maurice Raitt, GM for Africa at Luna, appreciate the time today.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
That's it for today. Chatting with Chantal Marks there, our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter is around NASPAS. She made a couple of points there, a bit of a short squeeze, a bit of a China looking better, massive discounts, even just NASPAS discount to process, and then obviously the look through to Tencent at the same time. Next leg higher on the stock, are you holding? Are you still worried about China? Perhaps you're more interested in U.S. tech rather than China tech. In our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Jimmy Muyaha around Avenge, JP Morgan up in their stake. He had a lot of data around that. And the question is, are you holding the stock that frankly once looked like it was absolutely bankrupt? Just over half of you saying yes, just over a quarter of you saying nah, not a sector I like. And it is, it's deeply cyclical. And about a fifth of you saying nope, there are others that you prefer. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.